We're going to turn in our Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we're just going to read the first 12 verses. So if you're using one of the church Bibles, you'll find that on page 637. 637. So it's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Please grab a Bible. There's loads of them at the back. Proverbs 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through to 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Well, it's clear, isn't it, that these words were originally from a parent seeking to set their child off in the right direction at the beginning of their lives. But this morning, they come to us as God's word to set us off in the right direction at the beginning of a new year. So I wonder whether we can just view these verses in that way as we come to them this morning. God's word to us, individually, corporately, because he wants to set us off in the right direction, to start right in 2017. So I've chosen a kind of a familiar image. I think this was a company selling shoes for children. And the idea was that you were meant to get them on the road to start right by giving them the right shoes to wear. And maybe that's a good image for us at the beginning of 2017, that we want to start the year right. We want to be wearing good shoes. We want to be making the right steps as we go into the future. Now, you and I both know that the tendency for us as believers is to forget the things that we've been taught in the past, forget the lessons we've learned in the past, to wander, to stray, to drift, and so on. And as people try and make New Year's resolutions on the 1st of January, so even as believers, we might recognize that we need to perhaps get back in the right direction. And I think this new year gives us a great opportunity to do that, to start right in 2017. And I think this passage is really here to help us to do that. And if you just look through the verses in chapter 3 there, you'll notice that they're all kind of grouped in pairs. There's six pairs in total. And the first pair is kind of like an introductory little saying. My son, don't forget the things I'm going to teach you. They're here to do you good. And then there's kind of five steps, five different areas of life that this parent wants to talk to their child about. And as I just read those verses through again, maybe you can just think to yourself, oh, that's interesting. He's going there, he's talking about that area, and now he's moving on to something different. Just look at the different steps, you might say, that he wants this child to take. So a couple of introductory verses, 1 and 2, and then from 3 onwards, 5 steps to be taken. So it starts like this: my son, do not forget my teaching. Keep my commands in your heart. They'll prolong your life many years, bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. I wonder, as we just read through those verses again, you could see the different kind of steps, the different areas that this parent is touching on with their child, that God would touch on with us this morning. Well, whenever we come to the book of Proverbs, we have to be careful that we don't simply just view it as a kind of list of moral do's and don'ts. Sometimes it can come over like that, can't it? But we have to remember two things. We have to remember, whenever we come to the book of Proverbs, who is it coming from? Where is it coming from, and where is it leading us? And if we want to take this kind of image of starting right in 2017, I'm going to suggest this. We need to have the right shoes on. When we go into 2017 and we listen to God's word in 2017, when we listen to these instructions this morning, we have to have the right shoes on. The first shoe is this. Let's put it on the screen, shall we, Rob? Where is this instruction coming from? These steps come from a loving father. Wisdom, guidance, moral advice that we get in these verses are not to be divorced from our relationship with the Lord. Hence, you'll see all through this passage, the emphasis is on our relationship with him. We are to trust. We are to honor. And his relationship to us, he loves us. That's why he's acting in certain ways towards us. You notice that the writer here uses a particular word when he's talking about God. He uses the word the Lord, and you'll notice that's in capital letters in your Bible. That's a particular name for God that reminds us that he is a covenant-making, a promise-making God, and a promise-keeping God. Now, the parent who first spoke these words to their child knew that God was a covenant-making God because that God had brought them out of Egypt, had saved them, had brought them into the promised land. They knew this God was a loving, trustworthy God because of the actions that he has done in their people's lives. We have an even greater insight into God's commitment to us, the way that he's made a covenant with us, even through the gift of his own son. Great promise to us that God is not just remote and distant, but is close, loving, committed to us. He has saved us, even through his son. If he did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? When we come to God's word and practical instructions, as we're looking at this morning, we must not divorce them from the fact they come from a loving, heavenly Father. He knows how life works. He gives wisdom to us for daily life. And that's why he can come up with all these kind of generalized promises. If we go this way, he knows where it's going to lead. He has great understanding of life. He wants us to get life right. That's where these commands are coming from. So at the beginning of the year, I just want us to ask ourselves this question: am I going to listen to God's advice? I know he loves me, I know he cares for me, he's shown that, demonstrated that in the gift of his dear son. Will I then listen carefully to his advice? Not simply this morning, as we look at these verses, but also the year ahead. And now hopefully in the news sheet you found there was a little flyer there just suggesting three or four different ways in which you might be encouraged to read the Bible over the next year. So please take that away and just have a look at that. And maybe there's something you might want to order, or you might want to go to a website and get some regular emails helping you in understanding the Bible day by day. But I just want us to say, if this God loves us and cares for us, as he's demonstrated, let's listen to him in 2017. Check those things out. You might find one or two of them useful in the year ahead. So that's where it's coming from. We have to have that shoe on, as it were, day by day, as we take the steps the Lord wants us to take. But the other shoe we have to put on is this. Let's put that up on the screen. Where's it going? He's taking us down these steps to make us more like his perfect son. And when Melinda was quoting from that book, she talked about God doing things in our life that we might be conformed to the likeness of his son. That's where it's leading. And there's no greater model for us to be following than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our Heavenly Father wishes to lead us, through his word, by his spirit, to be more like his son. And again, that should make us, as it more eager. When we come to God's word, when we come to his instructions, his guidance, it's not detached from where it's come from, but not detached from where it's leading to. It's to make us more like Christ. It should give us eager ears, a willing heart for God's word this morning, but also again for the year ahead. So when we're going to take these steps that we're going to have a look at, five steps this morning at the beginning of this new year to start right, let's make sure we've got those shoes on. Where it's coming from, a loving Heavenly Father, where it's leading to make us more like his perfect son. Okay, so with those shoes on our feet, let's see what the first step is that the Lord would have us make to start right in 2017. Verses 3 and 4. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and of man. And I think the first step is this. Be steadfast in your commitments. Or we might put it like this. Start right in your relationships. Start right in your relationships. Love and faithfulness. That's in very strong contrast, isn't it, to kind of selfishness and unfaithfulness, infidelity, which is so often the way of our own hearts. God wants us to be people who stick to our promises, not simply out of a sense of duty, but out of a context of a loving relationship. We're involved with people. Are we going to be faithful and trustworthy in our relationships? Now, I realize it's rather strange, the idea of God commanding us to love. We tend to think, especially when it comes to romantic love, that it's something we can't control. But the Bible actually gives us a definition for love. He says, this is what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's long-suffering. It's not easily angered. It takes no record of wrong. He defines love for us, and he commands love from us. So I wonder whether in your relationships at the beginning of this year, you need to say, what is God asking of me? He's asking me to love. It's not just an emotional thing. He's showing me what that actually looks like practically, day by day, in my relationship with other people, in marriage, in friendship, in the workplace, even in the local church. And this will be good for us. In many parts of the world, we know, don't we, that people wear around their neck lucky charms. They think it will do them good in some way or bring good to them. He says, what are we to have around our neck? We're to have love and faithfulness. Lucky charms won't do anything for us, but being faithful in our relationships will be good for us. Steadfast in our commitments. A step to take in 2017. Let's look at the next pair of verses, 5 and 6. These are probably some of the most familiar verses, aren't they, from the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I think we could sum that up by saying this. Be dependent in your thinking. Start right in your understanding. Now that word trust in the Lord, it means to rely upon somewhere or something as a safe place in the face of danger. So imagine somebody running to an air raid shelter when there's a bombing raid expected. That's the idea. I'm running to somewhere as a place of safety because I'm in a danger field. And in the context of this section of Proverbs chapter 3, I think in many ways it's saying, turn to God's word, turn to God's truth, because we're living in a time when there are many bombs of error exploding all around us. Many errors, as it were, wrong ways of thinking falling upon us. We need to run to the air raid shelter of God's truth and God's word. And it's interesting, isn't it, how the Bible in so many places is written to correct our wrong thinking. So next Sunday morning, we're starting looking at the book of Galatians together. It was written to a people who thought that they had worked out how to have a good relationship with God, but they got it wrong. And Paul is writing to them to correct their way of thinking, to correct their understanding. Their understanding, their own understanding, was askew. They needed to be corrected, brought back onto safe ground. So in our thinking, in our understanding of what's true for life, for the world, for now, for the future, let's be dependent. Let's trust on what God has to say to us. And let's acknowledge him day by day. You know what that, you get that situation, I can remember it in my family some years ago, where somebody said, you know, I was at this family gathering and so on, and Mr. So-and-so or Uncle so-and-so didn't even acknowledge me at all. He never spoke to me, he's never referred to me at all. And how awkward that can be. And maybe we can be like that with God, day by day. I just treat him as if he's not there. I ignore him. He says, that's not the way it's to be. We're to acknowledge God. We know the truth about him. We're to engage with him. We're to go to him, seek his help, recognize that he has guidance for each part of our lives, to do, as it were, what he would want us to do, acknowledging him moment by moment. And the result of that is he gives us straight paths. Now, that means straight ethically. It might mean also straight practically. He guides us in safe ways. But the other idea is this: he gets us to the right destination. The safe path gets you to the right destination. It's moving you in the right order, the right way. So that's, as it were, the second, as it were, step. Firstly, steadfast in commitment. Secondly, dependent in our thinking. Then thirdly, look at 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body, nourishment to your bones. I think this is really summed up in this lovely little phrase: be humble in your obedience. Start right in your behavior. At this time of the year, very often you get magicians on the television. I watched a bit of David Blaine the other day. Now, magicians do things that are not meant to be done. They play with things that are dangerous. They kind of throw swords and spears around. They put daggers through people and all that kind of stuff. They saw people in half. You're not meant to do that. It's dangerous. And we think, however, somehow or other, that we can be like kind of moral magicians. We can play with fire. We can handle dangerous things. But of course, magicians aren't really, are they? It's all an illusion and so on. In fact, they're probably some of the most safety-conscious people that there are. We think we can handle moral things, and we can kind of cope with them. We think we can kind of make our own path. We can kind of just flirt a bit here with this moral kind of compromise or that moral compromise and so on. And we can dally with things. And yet, this parent, wise parent, says, shun evil. Don't dally with these things, but shun them. That means kind of send them to Coventry, if you know what that phrase means. You don't have any dealings with them. You don't talk to them. You shun them. Refuse to have a relationship with evil. Not thinking I can play with fire. I can throw, as it were, moral knives around. I can dally with these things and get away with it. No. Be humble in your obedience. Recognize your weakness. And don't dally with these things. And the result is, he says, he's good for your body and bones. Now, that really means to be good for you physically and mentally. When Proverbs talks about the bones, he's really talking about the inner person, the way of thinking, psychologically. if we avoid evil, if we humbly recognize our need of God's help, that will help us not only physically, but also psychologically. And what's the fourth step he takes us on to? Look at that in verses 9 and 10. Quite an obvious one here, isn't it? Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, your vats will brim over with new wine. When my wife dishes up the Sunday lunch, as she will be doing in an hour or so's time, she has a specific order in which she serves people. So the best bits of the joint and the best of the vegetables always go to the guests first, and usually to the female partner, so my sister-in-law, Margaret, will get the first fruits. She'll get the best bits of the meat and the best vegetables, the best-looking Yorkshire pudding, etc., etc. And then it kind of next down the pecking order is the family, and then there's me, and then there's her, and sometimes she offers seconds to people, and they can have another bite of the cherry, as it were. And then the leftovers, the bit that nobody has any further use for, goes to the birds. It goes down the garden. Now, I think what the Proverbs writer is getting at here is that we can have a similar way of ordering things when it comes to our money. There's certain favorite things that take priority. They get the first fruits, and maybe they even get a second helping of our finance as well, these favorite things. But at the end of the day, if something's left over, well, he can have that bit. It's a bit like the bit we throw for the birds, we can throw for God. And what the writer is saying is, don't get it that way. Get it the other way around. It's to be reversed. We're to acknowledge the giver first with our gifts. We honor the Lord with our money, with the first fruits of our money, not the bit that's left over, that's thrown away, that nobody else has any use for, but the first fruits. And I think when it says here, honor the Lord with our money, I think that does talk about respecting his work and supporting the work of the gospel locally, globally. But I think it also means to be mindful of those who are poor, to care for the needy, to be responsible, to honor the Lord with our finance means to be generous in our worship of God, acknowledging him. And sometimes that can be an act of faith. We give first to God, but he said it's a faith well placed, because if we do that with our funds, then as it were, we'll have more funds to do good with in the future. Honor God with our finances. Start right with your money in 2017. And then finally, verses 11 and 12. Let's put that up, shall we? Be submissive in your affliction. My Lord, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. So when things go wrong in our lives, when our weaknesses are shown up, and our unbelief is exposed, we can very often resent it and despise the Lord's discipline. But if we have confidence that the Lord disciplines those he loves, then we might find it easier to be submissive to his affliction. Some of us have come across a lovely illustration in a book by C.S. Lewis called The Problem of Pain. And his illustration is to help us when we're facing difficulties in our lives as believers, day by day, year by year. He talks about an artist who's producing different kinds of work. And he says sometimes the artist might produce just a very, very quick sketch. Maybe it's a view he sees, he doesn't want to lose it, or a pose he sees somebody holding, he doesn't want to lose that. He doesn't really care about how accurate it is. It's not going to be seen by anybody else. He's happy to leave it with all its imperfections. But when he comes to produce a great work, when he's been asked to produce what we might call a masterpiece, something that will be seen by many, many others, then he wants to get it just right. And he will take time over it, and there will be a number of corrections that are needed to that piece of work. He might start rubbing bits out. If it's an oil painting, he might scrape off some of the paint he's already put there, right the way back to the raw canvas again, before he starts to build it up afresh. And C.S. Lewis says this: imagine if the canvas could feel it. Imagine if the canvas could feel the scraping, feel the rubbing, right back to the raw canvas itself. What groans and cries and complaints would the canvas have? But the result would be worth it. The final masterpiece to be seen by many would be right now in every part, rather than wrong in so many. So when God takes hold of us, we, as it were, become his canvas. And he's doing a work with us that he wants to be seen by many, even by all the powers of the universe. He wants to get it right. There may be many things that need to be rubbed up, rubbed out. Maybe many layers of paint that might need to be scraped off right back to the bare canvas before he builds it up again. As one of the other Bible writers puts it, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us because of what he wants to produce in us as his workmanship. So here this morning is our loving Father, a perfect Father who knows what he's doing. He's bringing us his directions. He's guiding us down certain steps because of his commitment to us, and because of where he wants to take us to be more like his Son, the Lord Jesus. He's taken us on, you might say, as child apprentices. We are works in progress to wear those two shoes and to take these five steps. To start right in 2017 in our relationships, in our thinking, our understanding, in our behavior, with our money, and how we respond to our Father's discipline. I think it might be useful just for us to reflect for a moment. Maybe all five of those steps are valuable for you this year. Maybe there's one that you know is very much your Heavenly Father putting his finger on something in your life and saying, get that right in this new year. Let's just reflect on that for a moment before we finish with a lovely song.